is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, register and verify early, and they will give you $50 in free bets just for signing up. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bets you're looking for and lock them in. And unlike other sports books, once you win, FanDuel will get your cash in as little as 24 hours because it's the right thing to do. Right now, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, check out the app for yourself, and be sure to sign up and register using the promo code 3OUT so they know we sent you. Once you verify, you'll receive $50 in site credit as soon as FanDuel Sportsbook goes live in Tennessee. That's promo code 3OUT for $50 in site credit. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. TK's question. If it's JG for the next five, do you even care? Are you even going to pay attention?
I had multiple people text me before the Alabama game once they found out that Jarrett Garantano was going to be starting, and they just said, nope, I've got better things to do. And they didn't watch. I mean, they looked at halftime, saw what the score was.
Yeah, the casual check the box score, but not actually waste 4 hours watching the game type of fan. I get that,
and I don't blame them. And honestly, they made the right decision. And like Houston, I was telling you during the break that I love doing this. I love interacting with the fans. I love talking with them, getting their thoughts,
commiserating.
But if it wasn't for the fans, I wouldn't be subjecting myself to that on Saturday.
I think a lot of people are out. And I don't think it's necessarily that they're out on Pruitt. It's that they're out on JG, and because of that, they're out on Pruitt because he keeps trotting him out there. My thing is this. Like, if you start him for the next five games, I don't know. Say you go 2-3 over the next five and you've started JG every game. Are we setting ourselves up for JG to start in 2021? And what type of energy is there among the fan base if that's the case? Where's the hope for improvement? Again, it's a fifth-year senior, man. Like, he is what he is. I think most fans want to go into a season, especially what will be year four, or three and a half, if you want to call this a weird year. But as a head coach and as a program, don't you want to go into a season with the fans excited about what lies ahead? I think if JG were to come back and Pruitt says, yeah, come on, and you start him next year, like, what's your ceiling?
We talked about eight
wins? Maybe? Like, that's
not, I mean,
that's not
how
you sell tickets, man. That's not how you get people riled up.
I don't know if you get to eight, because if you're that hell-bent on keeping him the starter the whole year, I think that's going to screw you over in a couple of games later on.
No, I agree.
And then you have some players start to check out. Like, I think that's when you would actually have locker room discourse get to a really bad point. And I hate to say that about the kid. He's probably a good kid, but he's not a good football player. I think he even knows that at this point. And we were talking before this season about examples of a guy who finally turned the switch at the quarterback position after having so many years. There's not an example to go looking at a quarterback in the 6 year one, because you've not had that ever happened before, but two, because if you're bad, you're not going to get that many opportunities. So the fact that he's this bad and he still gets these opportunities, that's just a complete indictment on the coaching staff at that point.
I just find it so hard to believe that there's not a better option behind him. Like, at this point, the fans would rather watch Harrison Bailey make mistakes, understand that he's a freshman, understand that he's learning, understand that he's growing and that you're getting those freshman mistakes, than watching a fifth-year senior make those same freshman mistakes and continue to get the starts.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it. There's been people who have said this on multiple occasions, but they would rather have a worse record with Harrison Bailey than a better record with Jarrett Garantano. And I can't say that I blame them, because, I mean, when you talk about football or sports in general, it's all about hope and building something in the future.
And even if it's false at this point, right? Like, even if Harrison Bailey, look, this is all hypothetical, but even if he stinks, you would at least have hope that he would be that much better next year. Does anyone think if JG comes back, he's, like you said, that light switch is going to go on?
And why would a good quarterback line up to come play for that coaching staff whenever that's what they continue to put out there? And it's not like we're going to see him improve.
I guess the good news is, like, if you're the best guy on the roster, like, you're going to start no matter what. Like, they are loyal to their starting quarterback. I guess that's one thing.
But if your goal, and I think every quarterback that comes in and wants to play at the University of Tennessee, their aspiration should be getting to the next level. Has this coaching staff given you any reason in the last couple of years to think that their quarterback's going to be able to get drafted and play on Sundays?
No. But it's been the same guy.
But I mean,
I agree with you. Like, that's part of the problem. Like, it's been the same guy, and they haven't gotten anyone ready behind him. And I just think it's time to make that switch. It's time to start working towards the future, towards hope. Again, like, I'm not knocking JG the person. I'm just saying, like, as a football player, we came into this season. I didn't say, yes, he should be the starter 100%. I didn't say bench him. I said, I just want to wait and see. I've seen it. I've seen enough. I know what he is. He's the exact same. And it's not a hopeful feeling when I hear that he's going to be the starter the rest of this season and then maybe again next season. Like, it's time to pull the Band-Aid off. It might hurt. It might not go as smoothly as we want. But at this point, again, if you're trying to get people excited, build hope, and really, like, turn the heat down on yourself if you're Jeremy Pruitt. Like, you just need to get a guy out there that's different. Maybe it's Maurer. Maybe it's Bailey. I don't care. It just doesn't need to be JG. You're not going to win anything of consequence with him at quarterback. It just is what it is. Go to the G3 Help Me hotline. We've got Philly. Where's Philly?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Philly.
Seems like Davey is the one that's got the most sense this morning.
Oh, sorry. I guess I'm out of sense. Well, I feel like you would be agreeing with me 100%, Philly.
I agree with some of what you say, but was another caller talking about Johnny Majors and Frank Beamer? Well, Jerry Pruitt is no Johnny Majors or Frank Beamer.
Yeah, Philly, I said it during the break. I mean, Johnny Majors was coming off of a national championship before he got here. I was looking at his record. I mean, yeah, he had a losing record the first season, got to 500 the second season. Third season had a little bit of a – third or fourth had a little bit of a dip. But, I mean, if it was a guy that your fan base loved, had done something for you in the past, the fan base is going to be more lenient on that guy. Yep. But we're talking about a guy who was developed, grew up in our most hated rival system.
Well, the difference is Johnny Majors – maybe his second or third year, he beat Auburn, and he beat Notre Dame in his third year, and they went to a bowl game in the third year. And could see they were making slight improvement.
Yeah,
they were. 1980 was they played probably the toughest schedule in Tennessee history, and that's when Tennessee blew that Georgia game with Herschel Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And that propelled – I mean, USC was great that year, and then Alabama – you know, it wasn't until really 1983 that Tennessee was really, it turned the corner.
And you weren't getting the constant 20-point blowout losses week in and week out.
Exactly. Because they were competitive.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I know sample size is different, but if we're taking all of Jeremy Pruitt's losses, how many of them are by 20 or more points?
Yeah.
80% are.
Yeah, and you look at it, Jeremy Pruitt, the culture will get cut toxic. If they go 2-8, 3-7 this year, it's going to get pretty toxic around here.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, fans are already livid. And then, again, like, that's the thing. If you go, let's say, 2-8, I don't think they'll go 2-8, but let's say, 2-8 or 3-7, that means that, again, like, there's no hope for next year.
Like, exactly.
Especially if you go 2-8 or 3-7 rolling out JG the rest of the way. Like, at what point do you say, yeah, I can see where we're going to turn the corner next year if we just continue to do the same damn thing?
Well, they need to see if Harrison Bailey is the answer for next year. Put him out there this year. Because if he's not, then Salters will be your quarterback next year. That's why I don't understand. There's no blueprint for what are we doing over there in this quarterback situation.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm with you. I don't want to get to the off season And then we're going to try and see in spring practice if Harrison Bailey can be the guy.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, you've waited too long. It's going to be too late. Like, put him out there now. He's going to make some mistakes, but just see if he's got it. And if he doesn't, then you'll know to put all your eggs in the Salter basket. Like, that's just the way it's going to work. Because it's just not working with two. Yeah. Maybe it's Maurer, maybe it's Bailey, but we need to find that out now so that we're not doing this exact same song and dance over the summer heading into 2021. Because that is going to be a make or break it year for Jeremy Pruitt, in my opinion. I don't think he'll get fired this year, but 2021 is important, especially if you go, like you're saying, Philly, like 3-7 or 2-8.
Are we going 3-7 or 4-6 with Bailey behind center? I think people will be more willing to forgive Jeremy Pruitt. But
yeah, as long as he's not terrible, I think, people would say, okay, we got a piece here. We can build off this. We can work with this going into 2021. Yeah, like it's kind of the age-old thing. Would you rather go 5-5 with JG or 4-6 with Harrison Bailey? Like, I'm taking 4-6 with Harrison Bailey. Like, I'll take another loss because you're playing a true freshman five-star stud QB hoping to develop him for the next year over this just mundane, not playing to win, don't make mistakes, boring football.
Well, how long is the HOH just going to sit out there? They've been kind of put off, taken out of the loop over there, but they're going to see their opportunity to get back in the loop, and they can run two people off, and they'll be back in charge again.
You think they're just waiting in the wings?
I think they are.
Just waiting for it all to crumble?
Yeah.
Man, we can't have that again. That's why we need Jeremy Pruitt to figure this out.
Who's going to stroke the checks? Well, we have to have them.
No, you're right. Like, if we end up having to make that move for whatever reason, like, you're going to have to go hat in hand, bended knee. Can you please help us get out of this situation? Make the call. It's up to you. But the university doesn't need that to happen. Like, that's why we need Jeremy Pruitt to figure this out. Well, we need Jim Chaney to figure this out. Maybe
the job training don't work. You don't and I know it.
It can. It just takes a lot longer. And I don't know who Fulmer was supposed to go get. Like, that was a tough situation. Everything was a mess. He did his interviews. He got this guy, first-time head coach. There were going to be stumbles. There were going to be growing pains. But it's midway through year three. Like, we should be figuring more out on the positive side than realizing more mistakes and shortcomings as we move forward.
Yeah, but if Jeremy Pruitt had any common sense, he would have got a quarterback to begin with. He'd gone 10-3 last year, and we'd be 3-2 right now. And we can absorb losses to Georgia and Florida. Well, we're just not quite there yet. But when you lose to Kentucky on your home field and quit in the second half, that's an alarming thing to watch.
Yeah, and for me, too, it's like there's learning on the job, but then there's doing what you're doing, which obviously rolling JG out there constantly. Like, I mean, you've had your opportunity to learn, and at this point, you don't care. That's the way I take it. And again, all the other quarterbacks could suck. I don't know. If you want the fans, you want to keep your job, well, at least let us see it.
And if you're taking the defensive signals out during the game and tell us why you're going to fire them at halftime, you don't have no control at all what's going on over there.
Yeah. And, I mean, it goes back to the point of, like, people are like, well, he's the coach. He was hired to do it. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, I'm the paying customer. Like, if I don't like the product, I'm going to voice my displeasure. It's kind of like the same thing. You don't like the president? All right, go vote for another person. Like, it's the same exact situation.
All right, I feel better. See you.
See you, Philly. Yeah, it's tough, man. I didn't think we'd be here. I definitely thought at this point, if you're 2-3, you're at least getting a quarterback change, because two of your losses are directly on the quarterback. Like, the loss to Kentucky, directly on him. Like, those interceptions for touchdowns and the other one that led to the field goal, like, that absolutely took the motivation out of the team. Like, they were done.
And don't get me wrong, like, I don't think you beat Georgia even if you had another quarterback back there, but you're not going down in a blazing fashion.
Exactly. I mean, that second half is one to be forgotten, burned, thrown away forever. But yeah, like, if JG doesn't make those three turnovers and four drives or whatever it was, like, you're probably at least in it. You can probably at least look at that game and say, we're getting closer. The gap actually is closing. And instead, you get blasted, and then I think we all agree, like, the game plan against Bama was It was very vanilla.
Yeah.
It was just don't let him make mistakes. But I mean, you're not playing to win at that point.
And I know we're moving on, or we said we would kind of like look forward. But as we look at it, it's like if you're not going to play to win, at least play to build for the future.
Right. Like if you can't win these games now with JG, then play a guy who maybe can win them next year, so that he can get that experience, so that he can get the reps, get the film, get the tape, and learn. And build some cohesion with his teammate.
And if your guy does get hurt, you've shown you don't have anyone to come in whatsoever and get any other reps. Like, I mean, Alabama
right.
did that at least. Like that. Like Nate mentioned that early on. It's like they got Bryce Young in there before we got another quarterback in there.
Right. And he looks really good, by the way. Like, he's going to be a really good quarterback. But why have we not done that? Why did we not play another quarterback against Missouri late when we had a big lead?
I don't know. And
that doesn't make any sense.
That's why I don't give Jeremy Pruitt any slack on the matter. It's because you've had plenty of opportunities to play somebody else, and you just won't.
Take a quick break. Come back. Get to Zach on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Zach, hang on for us, and we'll get to you. You'll be first up right after this. Hour three of Three and Out rolls on. Skeleton Crew. Will had to dip out. Davey's on the board, sitting over here by myself. It's a shame.
Back. Social distancing.
Yeah, just keeping it safe.
Even though it doesn't matter.
Apparently not. Put your mask on.
I mean, not that. I mean, like, I can't infect you.
Oh, that's true.
You did have to miss the first time since technically you were in range.
Fair enough. I guess maybe I'm immune. You've had it. Will's had it. I just keep skating by over here.
Never tested positive.
That's fair. Back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines we go. Zach has waited patiently. Zach, good morning, bud.
What do you say, Houston Davey?
Just talking about a fun football team.
Making sense of what doesn't make sense, Zach.
Hey, I was talking to the Dullards on the drive yesterday. And,
I'm sorry.
All jokes aside, I really respect what Trey Wallace does. I think to, have to follow that and, decipher what's truth and what's not. I think he does a really good job for you guys. But he was saying something that I was just dumbfounded by. Sources close to him, and, of course he couldn't reveal them, said that JG would not be welcome back next year. There was no way possible that he was playing. And I kind of argued that a little bit and found that kind of hard to believe. And he said, trust me, that he's worn out his welcome. He will not even be on the campus next year. And he's been told that. So here's my question, because that makes me even more mad. So you're telling the guy that right now, let's say that's true. You told the guy, hey, look, we don't need your services anymore. You're gone. Then why the heck are you playing him this year? If you know that he's not going to be your guy, I mean, I know we keep going to this over and over, but you think about that for real. If they know he's not the guy, then why are you not developing anybody else and playing them?
Zach, that actually gives me some hope. Like, that gives me some hope that they've seen, like, yeah, we're not winning a championship in 2021 with this guy. We have to move on. And that gives me some hope that maybe against Arkansas, maybe, just maybe, and maybe I'm hoping against hope here, but maybe that means they're going to get somebody ready over the next 2 weeks, and we're finally going to cut the cord and sink or swim with somebody not named JG.
Yeah, I'm just afraid with this guy. He's so stubborn, he's going to ride it out the rest of the year with this guy. They've got a running joke that we're stuck in the Hotel California. You can check out, but you can never leave. Oh, well, the Hotel
Garantano, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I could see this guy playing him all year and then saying, okay, well, we're done with your services. Then trying to trot out somebody next year that has not been developed or been played. The more that we talk about this, the more it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. And it doesn't take, you've got even Tim Tebow saying, when is Tennessee going to find their quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the nation sees it, we see it, but they don't see it.
No, I mean, everybody I think that watches this football team, again, we're not a quarterback away from championships, but we're a quarterback away from being a threat, a competitive in every game football team.
Right.
Everyone sees that. Everyone sees that the offensive line is pretty good. They've got pretty good running backs. They've got some good veteran receivers, and then they've got a couple young freshmen who look pretty good. We are a quarterback away from being dangerous. That's really weird to me that we would continue to trot him out knowing he's not going to be the guy next year. This has always been a weird season. It was always going to kind of be a throwaway year anyway due to the pandemic. Now is the time to start not even getting him ready, just to see what you have. Now's the time to play somebody else. That way you'll know going into spring practice and fall camp what you got, you know, how you need to manage games next year. But you got to make that move now to figure it out and instill some type of hope in this fan base and in this program.
And if it's a throwaway year, that was my point too. Like, we all agree, you know, you got your 10 games, this is a throwaway year. But in a season, you know, the caller picked up on this, but I just keep saying it, in a season where it didn't matter, he made it matter just by the buffoonery. And, you know, if you have a throwaway year, why not? And the guy's not coming back senior year, well, you know, sixth year, whatever. Why would you even attempt to play that guy?
Mm-hmm.
That's just ludicrous to me. And, you know, I'll say this, kind of wrapping up the call, is that just, you know, a couple of quick questions for you. Do we have a lockdown corner right now?
Lockdown, no. I think you've got two pretty good SEC corners when they're not playing Alabama's receivers, but no, I don't think you have a lockdown guy.
Do we have a stud safety?
Nope. Again, just good SEC safeties, but not lockdown, not elite, not stud, no.
Do we have a elite pass rusher?
No. I think DeAndre Johnson's been a bit of a surprise when he's on the field, but you definitely don't have a Derek Barnett or even a Daryl Taylor.
That is the one thing I am hoping, that they hold that recruiting class together, because I do feel like you have those guys with Brooks coming off the edge. You've got
Terrence Lewis.
Terrence Lewis, Aaron Willis. Like, those guys can they have the potential to be that elite guy, but it's...
I think Tyler Barron's shown flashes, but again, freshman, he's, you know, he was really good against South Carolina. And then I don't know if it's a freshman wall or an injury or whatever, but I think you can see some potential there. But no, you don't have a stud.
Yeah, and so, like, that's what's frustrating. You keep going through the list. You know, it's time to develop some people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, linebackers that can't cover slants. You know, like, it's time to really look at that defense. Like, did you really need to get rid of Jimmy when you could have focused on other areas?
Right. Yeah, set the $1.2 million on fire. Yeah.
It's like, how toxic was that?
Yeah. And can I ask you this on the way out? You know, if you guys know anybody, were the players close to Brumbaugh? Like, how did that affect their psyche? You know, they're young and were they close to him or not really because of coronavirus? They didn't have that many interactions. Do you know that?
I don't think it was a close player-coach relationship. Everything I heard is that the players kind of ran over Brumbaugh a little bit. Like, he didn't command their respect. And that's why, you know, Daryl Middleton would just not practice. Aubrey Solomon was deciding, did he want to practice? Did he want to sit out for COVID? And I think that's one of the things Jeremy Pruitt saw, and one of the reasons he made the move is, you know, he needs guys to respect the coach. And I don't think they respected Brumbaugh, and I think Pruitt just wanted to go ahead and get rid of that before it got worse.
Right.
Nip it in the bud, so to speak.
Well, we've got, you know, there's a two-week off season, guys, but we just scratched the surface. So y'all hang in there. Take care.
Thanks, Zach. For me, you know, like,
we hired him in February, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So things got shut down about a month later. It'd been really hard for them to actually build a relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, Zoom calls or whatever, but everything we heard over the summer was that he was a player's coach and maybe a little bit too lenient, not demanding enough as far as effort, performance, things of that nature. For me, going back to what Zach said, like, I don't think coming into this season it was a throwaway year in general. It was always going to be weird. For me, though, like, the minute you weren't going to win the East, and that, for me, was against Kentucky, like, the minute you knew that, you have to start working towards 2021. If you had rolled JG out and you're 4-1 or 5-0 right now, sure, makes total sense. Keep it going. Try to win as many games as you can, but losing three in a row, that's why I'm sitting here saying you got to turn the page. You got to flip the script. You got to start developing younger guys. You got to play Hyatt more. You got to play Weidman more. You got to play Bailey or Maurer. Like, you've got to start getting some of these young guys ready. You know, you need to rotate more guys in the secondary, on the defensive line, linebacker. Like, you've got to just, again, like, I hate it. I hate that we're here after five games saying that. But at this point, like, all eyes are on 2021. And I hope Jeremy Pruitt sees that and notices that, because I think if he'll start to play some of these younger guys, yes, there's going to be growing pains, but you can start to build some hope, start to develop some guys for next year. And again, next year is going to be a very important year for Jeremy Pruitt. You cannot, I don't know what the next five games are going to look like, but you can't throw up a 500 year or worse and then go, you know, 6-6 or 7-5 next year and expect people to be thumbs up, ready to go, season ticket sales, all that. Like, it's time. Time to make a move. We had a quick timeout. Come back. Two segments left in Three and Out. You're listening to Fan Runner. Without a single Halloween conversation. It's the bye week. Halloween on a Saturday. You got any big plans, Dave? Costume parties?
Sleep in. No, I don't plan on going to any parties.
Are you a big horror movie guy?
No.
No?
No.
Really?
I like thrillers, but, like, horror movies, it's not my style at all.
You jumpy?
I just don't find it very intriguing.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's not like I really have anything against them. It's just, like, I don't see any point in me watching this.
You don't like being scared?
Not really. Like, I think most of them are pretty pointless. Like, the Saw movies, like, I just think that's kind of, like, a dumb concept, in my opinion. I mean, some people like it, to each their own. I can't really think of, like, a horror film franchise that I'm like, yeah, this is worth watching. Like, the Conjuring, like, eh.
I haven't seen that one.
It's, I don't know. It's just, it's not my style.
I have
one. Do you?
I enjoy them. Good ones. I watched, it's not a horror movie. Have you seen Misery with James Caan and Kathy Bates?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't put that
That's
in
kind
the
of a thriller, mind bender movie, but yeah, not horror. But I did watch that yesterday. Not bad.
Yeah, when I think
not
of horror, movie. I think of, like, The Ring, stuff of that nature.
Did you like The Ring?
No.
Really?
Yeah, like, it's just, I don't know. It just, I don't find those concepts appealing.
Man. Just anti Halloween?
No, like, Stranger Things is my favorite TV show. But it's like, I wouldn't necessarily call that, like, a horror film, or, I mean, show. But, like, I mean, I've
sci-fi-ish, yeah.
It's sci-fi. Like, I love sci-fi. Like, I mean, I've talked about, like, Interstellar, like, one of my favorite movies, like, that entire.
That's that, yeah. Space. I'm in. I'm in on space. Big space guy.
But, yeah, I mean, just the horror. It's never been a thing that
What's the scariest movie you've seen?
Man, I don't.
Like, did you ever watch a movie where you were just like, oh my gosh, that was the scariest thing I've ever seen?
Like, the fact that I can't even have anything come to mind is...
What about, like, the Halloween franchise? You ever watch any of those?
No. Like, Final Destination, like, I mean, I saw those, but again, like, I didn't really, like, I get...
That's technically classified as a horror movie. It, yeah. Like, ranks way up there on all-timers.
I'm trying to, like, just Google different ones to see if anything comes into mind. Like, what's the scariest movie you've seen?
I don't really. Honestly, the first time I saw The Ring, it was pretty scary. The Omen was pretty scary. The remake of The Omen was scary. Thought it was pretty good. Have you seen The Exorcism of Emily Rose? That one was pretty scary.
Actually, I don't know if I have. I enjoyed the new It.
Oh, I love that movie. I love both of them. Those are fantastic.
I went and saw the second in theaters. Like, I liked it.
It was enjoy. I never thought it was really scary. I just thought it was enjoyable. I like that movie.
They list like this is top horror movies. Like they have The Quiet Place in third. I really liked The Quiet Place, but I wouldn't classify that as a horror film.
I wish that movie had been like 45 minutes longer.
Well, they're making another.
I know, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's things they could have done differently.
That was Krasinski's first director role, correct?
I believe it was.
I liked that movie. That was good. Thought it was a good concept. I'm trying to think of. I watched one the other day that it was fine, but I can't remember the name of it. It didn't exactly inspire fear.
I find some zombie movies like appealing. I guess if you want to classify that into the horror category,
like I Am Legend.
Oh, I love I Am Legend. Yeah,
I love both those movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I technically don't put those in the horror film.
Did you ever get into The Walking Dead at all?
Yeah, I watched the first several seasons. The first four seasons I really enjoyed. I'm a big first season I loved because I'm a huge Jon Bernthal fan. Like, okay. He's one of my favorite actors. So first couple of years in that series, I mean, he was really good.
I never got into it.
They really hit their stride. Like they should, like they keep kind of going with it, but it's to the point with that cast, it's pointless in my opinion. I don't know. I'm kind of looking through some of these films. Like, I mean, they have The Mummy on here. Like I enjoyed that. 28 Days Later, that's another zombie film setting.
I'm open to submissions from the audience of horror movies I need to see. I always watch a bunch of horror movies. Like, obviously, you get around Halloween as it starts getting colder. I enjoy a good horror flick, but some of them are so cheesy that you get halfway through and you realize you've just wasted an hour because it's not going to get any better. I'd be very interested to see some scary movies that I haven't. Yeah, like haven't heard of yet.
Yeah, like I've had girlfriends in the past that like they're like, oh, let's watch this, and like I get the concept of why they want to watch it, but the movies have just always been terrible, in my opinion, at least the ones they've chosen.
It's kind of hard to come up with new concepts. So much has been done and overdone these days that I guess there's really nothing too new to scare folks, except the random face appearing out of the dark to just get the jump scare.
Yeah.
But as far as like a conceptual movie that irks me. Yeah, like, it's been a minute.
I remember when I was a kid, there was one movie. It was called Motel Hell. I don't know if you ever watched that.
I don't think so. Was it good?
No, it was like it was terrible. But like, I mean, it scared me to death. Basically, if I remember correctly, the premise was, it's like a 1980, but basically these people run this hotel and they capture people and they grow them kind of as like jerky and then sell the people. As food, like kill them and sell them as like a food product.
Jared asks if we've seen Sinister. Have you seen Sinister?
No.
I did see that movie. I'll be honest. Okay, so Sinister was actually recently rated the scariest movie based on heart rate, like resting heart rate, and then how scared you get and how high your heart rate goes during the movie. I enjoyed this movie. I never thought it was scary. Like it.
Some, I like Ethan Hawke.
Some people had to like leave the theater as they watched this movie. Like it freaked them out for weeks after they saw it. I never got to that point with Sinister. Fred. When I was a kid, I had to turn the movie Alien off about 3 minutes in because I was so terrified.
They had Fred Thompson.
Oh yeah, he was in that. Yeah, he was the. I think he was the police chief. Rest in peace. Great Tennessee and Fred Thompson. I just wanted to talk about anything but JG for the last two segments.
You count like I had Vincent D'Onofrio. I don't know. That's actually not a bad cast.
No, the cast was good. Watch it. I think it's on Netflix or something like that. Check it out because I want to see if you think that movie was scary. Because I was not scared. I thought it was I thought it was good. I thought it had some interesting twists to it, but I wasn't exactly.
It did well. The biggest thing for horror films is. I understand the concept in which, and this is just from a financial standpoint, these movies can be so low budget and then like return such a giant profit, like Paranormal mm-hmm. Activity.
Yeah.
Like probably like one of the cheapest movies ever made, but it killed it at the box office. And so like a lot of these concepts, whenever they go into making them, that's kind of the idea. The Blair Witch Project, like whenever that happened. Now, what's crazy about that is...
Did you like that movie? I liked it. I wasn't exactly scared.
Yeah, it's one of those where it was... Now, I was actually looking into this. This was on... I want to say it was like Looper did something the other day. If you ever mm-hmm. keep up with Looper, how they kind of like do behind-the-scenes things for films. But you talk about method acting. Like they basically just... The entire cast, they made them live out in the woods, and they were just acting for an entire week on end.
Right, right.
And they didn't get to stop. And so a lot of them really did have problems afterwards, like PTSD type stuff.
They scared themselves mm-hmm. while
to mentally get into that state of mind the entire time. And then when it was all said and done, it was kind of hard for them to kind of snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity.
Heath Ledger, in a way.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. All right, one segment left. Did you see what the SEC did to Lane Kiffin?
I did. And I actually have a proposal for you as it relates to Punishment Wednesday tomorrow. I'm
open to any and all proposals for tomorrow because I'm telling you right now, I do not want to eat that damn chip.
All right.
So I will listen to your proposal. We'll tell you what the SEC did to Lane Kiffin. I hate it when they do stuff like this. This makes no sense. I feel bad for Lane Kiffin. I feel bad for Ole Miss. Auburn escapes again, and the SEC has made a ruling. Final segment, 3 and out after this. Final segment of 3 and out on this Tuesday, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. A lot of chiming in for Hereditary. I think that's on Netflix. I might have to check that one out. Gonna have to check out Hereditary. Have you seen The Strangers? Ball Hill says it could happen to anyone at any time. The worth the watch.
No, the Hereditary thing, actually, when I was watching Looper... I got this guy mixed up with his brother, but the main character in Hereditary, his name's Alex Wolff. He actually had some issues getting back after Hereditary filming it. Yeah,
that kind of makes me want to watch it even more. They get so into the filming and the acting that they have to kind of like detox after filming. Mentioned that Lane Kiffin, man. I don't understand this. Why is it when coaches call out bad officiating that costs their team a game, the SEC decides to fine them after the SEC admits that they made mistakes?
They just don't want people talking about it, man.
Lane Kiffin.
Don't hurt the brand.
Lane Kiffin retweeted. That's it. He hit retweet on some critical of officiating commentary. $25,000. After the SEC again admitted that they made a big mistake. They should have reviewed the play. It should have been a touchdown for Ole Miss. Instead, Auburn escapes again. Auburn now at 3-2 should absolutely be 1-4. The Gus Bus rolling. Okay, we don't have much time left, Dave. You said you had a proposal for me.
Yeah.
You've got spray tan.
I've got spray tan. That might be tonight. That might be tomorrow.
Fair enough.
Due to timing issues. But... you do not want to do a Vol for Life segment.
I time and place. I'm not anti Vol for Life segment. I love the Vol for Life segment.
I know, but right now, like you said, like you're hopeful that Jeremy Pruitt figures out the quarterback situation, and if that happens, you think a lot of the current issues of the team will be resolved.
You want to do a Vol for Life segment?
I do.
Let's do one. We'll do one.
Okay.
Should we wait for Nate to get back? We're doing Monday?
We can. Okay. I mean, I was at the point, you've already said we can do that, but I was just going to offer you to do a Vol for Life segment tomorrow in exchange of you even having to do the chip, but since you went ahead and
blew that one. I'm terrified of eating that chip. Seeing what Nate went through, what Chance went through, I'm tempted to just lay down $100. I guess it'd just be going to you. But I feel like the audience would be, like, Nate got blasted for vetoing the...
I'd like to do it for 50.
$50?
$50, I'd let you get out.
I got free site credit from FanDuel coming soon. That's $50 that I don't... I mean, I could spare it.
Nate's not here. I mean, it's not like we got to have a... we can set a quorum. I'm fine with that. We created the game. There's three of us. We can create the rules. And
I mean, we do
here.
Have majority vote right now
yeah.
over the game. I just really don't want to eat that chip. I really don't. I'm my stomach's hurting just thinking about it. We'll see. See what the wait and see what the audience thinks.
Yeah.
Would that be a big punk move though, to buy out of the chip? They did send us all that stuff.
I mean, we've done it once. Actually, we've done it twice. There's a chance. Like I wouldn't veto it if I eventually drew it. I don't know if Alex or Will would, but
Will definitely would. Will does not do well with hot stuff.
But yeah, I mean, like, you wouldn't have to technically pay Nate, and I'd take the $50. So.
Yeah, I mean, you snooze, you lose, right? He's out of town. You can't sit here and argue for it.
Bear wants me to answer the phone.
But the show's almost over. What on earth could he have to say? Did you just hang up on him? Oh, okay.
Bear, what's up?
Hey, you cannot do this.
Do what?
There's no getting out of Punishment Wednesday.
That's not
true
at all.
You're not doing that to me. I'm stuck at my damn house. I'm sick of the coronavirus. You guys are not going to deprive me of the last bit of happiness I have, which is either watching Houston get shocked by you guys. You have a spray tan. You're eating that chip, Chris. You're eating it, buddy. Even if I have to come down there in a gas mask and cram it down your throat, you're eating that chip, bro.
The people have spoken. I guess 9:30 or 9:45 tomorrow, I will subject myself to unbearable Scoville pain. Shouts out to Bear for letting it be known. Keep it locked in here.
50's still on the table.
We'll talk after the show. The Blitz is next. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Hot chip. I'm excited about it.
Optimism Tuesday. I can't do it.
I don't know how he does that. See you tomorrow, folks.